He produced commissioned pieces for the National Hall of Fame
mm-hmm.
for famous American Indians at Anadarko in 1964.
Mm-hmm. He did a bust of Alice Brown Davis from McAllister, and he took that to the New York World's Fair in 1964, and he presented it there at that World's Fair in New York City at that time.
The Oklahoma Historical Society, he did a piece for them mm-hmm. in 65. The National Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western mm-hmm. Heritage Center in Oklahoma City in 1966.
They have a few pieces at that museum. The Five Tribes has several pieces. Cherokee Nation has several pieces.
He received the Outstanding Indian Award from the Council of American Indians.
Yes.
He identified himself as being Cherokee. But he was not an enrolled member of any Cherokee tribe,
right.
making that claim somewhat controversial.
To everyone but him.
Okay.
It was very important. This part of his heritage was very, very important to him. Whatever he could do for the Cherokee Nation, he did. He was big with Chief Keeler, W.W. Keeler, when he was chief, is when he did the trilogy pieces. And it was just really, it was really important to him to support the Cherokee Nation any way he could.
Why was he not enrolled?
His family, you know, there was a lot of families that did not sign up on the rolls. There was a group of them that left the Trail of Tears and went to Texas to not to have to be on that Trail of Tears. And so they went and they traveled to Texas and they settled in Parker County, Texas. And then they were rounded up and moved to Oklahoma. And his family didn't think it was right, and so they did not sign up.
So then people questioned, you're not on the roll, and right. there so, was a good reason for it.
Yes.
Because he was Cherokee.
That happened to a lot of people.
How was he Cherokee, from his father or his mother?
Mother. His mother. Lida. Her name was Lida Hedrick. That's mm-hmm. her last name. The Stone family actually came from Stone Mountain, Georgia, from there. So we don't know exactly where all it came from, but I had my DNA done I got a certificate with a high degree of Cherokee, but that's not acknowledged.
As I'm looking at you, you are have that look of a Native American in you, mm-hmm. very nice, I might say.
Well, thank you.
Right, And so you are Cherokee for sure. And so that came from your father mm-hmm. because your mother was not at all. Well, so it confirms it.
Yeah, well, you would think. They was going to give him an honorary roll number after he died. But there was a faction of councilmen that did not want that to happen. And so they said they did our genealogy and we were Mexican.
Oh, and they did the genealogy. You mm-hmm. said you're from Mexico.
Right. So it's been a little.
Well, that's the controversy then that went with that. If his parents had only enrolled them, that mm-hmm. would have taken care of that.
But, you know, so many didn't, because if you enrolled, then you got an overseer for your property and your family. And they take your kids and put them in boarding school.
Oh, okay.
And so that, you know, a lot of them didn't sign up because of that.
And, they would lose control.
Mm-hmm. And the overseers would take their land and things.
Okay.
And the kids were not allowed to even be Cherokee because they sent them to boarding school to be white, you know. And so that was why a lot of people didn't sign up. They didn't want to.
Are you on the roll now? Did you register?
No, you can't unless they have a lineage back to
okay,
on right. the Dawes Commission. You have to be somebody on the Dawes Commission.
But, you know, former chief Wilma Mankiller,
mm-hmm.
she had enough faith in him to believe that he was Cherokee because she designated him as a tribal artisan in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed him to present his artwork as being American Indian made under the 1990 Indian Arts and Crafts Act.
Yes.
So there's another area where Wilma Mankiller showed leadership.
Yes.
Okay, and we've already said this, the Exodus in the collection of the Cherokee Heritage Center is mm-hmm. especially well known, was used extensively in Cherokee publication. His Lady of Spring was included in the 97-98 White House Art Exhibition, 20th Century American Sculpture at the White House, honoring Native America.
Yes.
The guide to the White House exhibition calls Stone the unsung hero of Native American sculpture and describes Lady of Spring, which is an elongated female nude, as classic Art Deco. And then it was the Gilcrease Museum held its first major exhibition in 20 years devoted to his work, entitled Storyteller in Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you remember all that.
Yes.
And that was quite an exhibition then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was a great, great show. And they published a great book from that.
I've forgotten now. When did he die? What year?
1985.
He was inducted into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame in 1970.
Yes.
Bacon College awarded him an honorary degree in 72.
Yes.
Oklahoma Christian College in Oklahoma City designated him a distinguished American citizen in 74 and awarded him an honorary Doctor of Humanities degree in 1976. And I'm relishing reading all that based on the fact there's still some controversy about him,
his heritage,
and whether he's an artist or not.
Right. Yes.
He received a total of 10 awards between 69 and 80 in jury competitions at the Five Civilized Tribes Museum in Muskogee, which you referred to,
yes,
including that of Master Artist in 1973.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I rest my case.
Right. Oh, yes.
And then he died March 5th, 1985. He was buried in the family cemetery at his home near Locust Grove. Is that near here?
It's on the south side of the house. We have a little family cemetery out there. He said he never wanted to leave the place. So when he died, we said, okay. So
he's buried not far from where we're sitting.
Right.
Is there a marker, a marker?
Yes, we have a headstone and out there. And yes, he and Mom. And
you went to get one of his pieces.
Okay,
here.
This is called Rain Crow Illusion. See the bird?
Say that again.
Rain Crow Illusion.
Rain Crow. Rain Crow Illusion.
Illusion. Okay, see this? This bird right here is the Rain Crow?
Yeah.
Okay, and as I turn it around, it becomes the head of the phoenix bird.
Oh, my.
Isn't that great? It's my favorite piece.
Let me do that. Okay. So as you turn it from the Rain Crow side and you turn it around, it becomes
the head of a phoenix bird, which is the rebirth. It shows, he said the Rain Crow would alert the phoenix bird when it, the 100 years, you know, every 100 years, the legend is the phoenix bird would be reborn. And it was the Rain Crow that let the phoenix bird know when it was time.
Oh, that is just a miracle to look at that.
I know, and it's the only piece he did that's like this. And this is my favorite piece.
So he did this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Did he duplicate many pieces?
No, he didn't. He didn't like to duplicate. Now, he would duplicate them in bronze because people wanted them. And he did not want to carve two of the same pieces. Not that he didn't want to make two of the same thing, but he also, it wasn't exciting to him to do two of the same pieces.
He'd lost his.
Right. So we have this in bronze, too.
Okay.
So several pieces that people really liked, he would do in bronze and sell the limited edition bronze.
What do you think the worth of this is?
Oh, gosh.
Priceless, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know.
You don't know how to.
On our insurance, I mean, we have a price on it. But,
sure.
You know, I think I have probably $12,000.
I just feel fortunate holding.
Yeah, is
it holding it?
And he actually, I mean, you know, go to the museums and you can't touch anything, but Daddy liked, because the oil in your fingers, the oil in your hands feeds the wood. And he liked people to hold his pieces. He wanted them to be able to feel the wood. So.
Oh, that is just so miraculous.
Isn't that great?
Thank you for getting that piece. Right. So, are any pieces for sale here?
No.
Oh, shucks.
All the wood pieces are family pieces.
I brought my checkbook.
Oh, yeah? Well, okay. $900,000 will get you whatever. Anyway.
Right.